a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station. The KSL 5 o'clock report begins now.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story on the 5 o'clock report. More charges are filed against Mackenzie Lewick's suspected killer. The Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office says these charges are separate from the Lewick murder investigation. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt with the very latest.
The man accused of brutally murdering University of Utah student Mackenzie Lewick and then trying to burn her body is now being charged with possessing child porn. Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill says the material resulted from a search warrant served on Ayula Ajayi's phone and laptop.
And this is really the product of that ongoing investigation as we continue to pursue all our leads.
Ajayi's already facing charges of aggravated murder and kidnapping, desecration of a body, and obstruction of justice. But Gill says his job as a public prosecutor is to deliver justice wherever it's due.
The sad part is they're somebody's children, and that's why we take it so seriously in prosecuting such offenses.
Gill reminds people Ajayi is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:01. We have an update on another big murder case here in Utah.
The case of Lizzie Shelley.
Maria Chaleos is here. What's the latest?
Jeff, the man accused of murdering 5-year-old Lizzie Shelley in Logan pleaded guilty to her death today. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is live in the KSL 24-hour news center with the latest. Paul?
Well, Maria, now the question is he going to get life in prison or not? Alex Whipple's defense team admitted he took a knife from his sister's home and stabbed Lizzie Shelley in the back, piercing her lungs. Outside of the courtroom, her aunt Liesl Merrill thanked everybody who showed support to the family.
At this time, we would like to remind everyone that Lizzie was about kindness, happiness, and looking for butterflies and rainbows. We ask that people everywhere remember to live like Lizzie.
Whipple's defense attorneys believe it's going to be hard for a judge not to hand down life in prison without parole, but they are going to ask for less. Sentencing is scheduled for September 24th. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
The Utah Highway Patrol has released dramatic body cam video of an arrest in southern Utah. The video shows three kidnapping suspects fleeing with two babies from California earlier this month. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has watched that video. She says Trooper Adam Gibb spotted the suspects driving a white van near Parowan and pulled them over.
Open up the door. Let me see your hands. Come out of the car.
UHP Trooper Gibb drawing his gun to lure out Jeremy Adel and his dad, Frank Mark, from the van on the side of the freeway. With the two men in handcuffs, Trooper Gibb then approaching the van, taking one of the baby girls in his arms and sending Adel's mom, Andrea Yanko, to be handcuffed as well. Adel and his parents are accused of taking the 8 and 20-month-old girls after a domestic situation with their mom in California.
The Division of Child and Family Services is reuniting those girls with their mom. A Utah teen died yesterday at Glacier National Park after a car she was riding in was hit by falling rocks. It happened last night on the Going to the Sun Road. The rocks also injured her parents and two other children in the car. A spokesperson for the National Park says the rocks that hit the car were between fist size and 12 inches in diameter and could have filled the bed of a pickup truck. KSL's top national stories this half hour. Police investigating the Dayton, Ohio shooting say the suspect's sister was one of the first people he shot. While they're divided on whether the suspect intentionally targeted his sister and their companion, investigators do say it was likely deliberate.
We all have been reviewing this evidence, including the homicide detectives who are deeply immersed in this. We have radically different views in that regard. And if we can't agree, in the interpretation of the evidence, where some are saying absolutely not, he was not intentional, some saying no, it had to be, I would say it's inconclusive.
The suspect went into the bar with his sister, but then went back to his parked car to retrieve body armor and an assault-style rifle and ammunition. Police say it's apparent the suspect planned for the mass shooting, but they don't know why he chose that place at that time. As the president indicates, the Republican Senate majority may finally agree to additional federal background checks. Democrats say that's not nearly enough to stop gun violence.
House Democratic Majority Leader Steny Hoyer urging Senator Mitch McConnell to vote on the already House-passed gun background checks.
95% of Americans support it because they believe it is a significant an important step,
including semi-automatic weapon restrictions, he feels might reduce mass shootings. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
A female pilot is suing a popular private charter company claiming sexual discrimination. ABC's Alex Stone has more on that story.
At 5 feet, 2 inches tall, veteran pilot Sherry Drierup, who had just been hired by NetJets, had a problem. She was hired to fly a certain type of aircraft, and it turned out she was too short to fly it. She had a hard time getting her feet to reach the rudder pedals.
I was told by NetJets, go buy a booster seat, wear platform shoes, just make it work.
But she says nothing worked, and she claims she was fired because she was too short, while men who were too tall for the plane were transferred to different aircraft types instead of being let go. Drierup is now suing NetJets. Alex Stone, ABC News.
NetJets says it does not comment on pending litigation. KSL News Time, 5:05.
First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. We're brought to you by Mountain America's lowest visa rate ever. The very latest, please. Ricky Meese.
It's a parking lot for Tooele County drivers westbound I-80. It's due to a crash blocking a right lane of traffic about a mile prior to the Lake Point switch off. The delays are solid, stretching back to the 202 junction. Then eastbound I-80, closer to the downtown area, we have a car on its side. A right lane is blocked. Two lanes are open. This is eastbound I-80 after Redwood Road, but it's still causing some backups. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thanks, Ricky. KSL News Time 5:06. Back to Maria Chaleos.
Back to school.
Back to school.
In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
The school year begins in less than a week for kids all over Utah, and school districts are finding the teachers they need to fill the classrooms. But do they have enough counselors? KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson reports analysts say there is a shortage of counselors and school psychologists nationwide.
The recommendation set by the American School Counselor Association is to have one counselor for every 250 students. In Utah, educators say there hasn't been enough funding to match that. So the Utah State Board of Education set the policy of one counselor for every 350 students. But recent legislation has state educators optimistic.
We are seeing legislation be responsive to allocate additional funds to put in more school-based mental health supports in schools.
School counseling program specialist Kim Herrera says House Bill 373 would bring an additional $16 million for more school-based mental health support this year, and next year that jumps up to $26 million. Districts can use that money to pay for counselors, psychologists, or social workers. And while psychologists are in short supply, Canyon School District Director of Responsive Services B.J. Weller says social workers are especially hard to find. He says there hasn't been any real university classes focusing on school social work, but they're trying to change that.
We've been working with the University of Utah to create that specific track. So individuals earning their master's degree in social work can take classes specifically needed to help them become school social workers.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 5:08. Time now for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News at 8 minutes and 38 minutes past every hour. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
My good friend David, he passed away far too young. Late 50s, he was claimed by cancer. And at his funeral, the mourners were pretty surprised to look into the open casket and see David dressed in full clown costume. Big red nose, white face paint, clown shoes, red wig, the whole thing. There were whoopee cushions on every seat. You know what a whoopee... Yeah, whoopee cushion. And the weird thing is, David had nothing to do with clowns or circuses. Dude was a professional photographer, and nobody could figure out why he decided to say sayonara this way. 8 years later, it's still a mystery, but increasingly common. Not grease paint. But we're noticing as the Grim Reaper begins to tiptoe toward baby boomers, death is becoming an exercise in self-expression. Kind words, a few tears, and 6 feet of dirt don't get it done for this generation. No, we've even invented death cafes. Not a funeral, there's no body. A death cafe is an event where you go to talk about death.
We don't have any answers.
And eat.
There's always tea and cake.
That's Death Cafe founder John Underwood.
You don't know when the last moment's going to come.
It did. He's dead. 4 years ago. No clown suit. But hopefully his death was a meaningful experience, and that's the thing about baby boomers. Everything humans have done for 200,000 years, we have to turn into an exercise in self-expression. But you whippersnappers, don't laugh at the baby boomers. When your number's up, you're going to turn death into a branding opportunity.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Triple Team Traffic brought to you by Mountain America's lowest visa rate ever. And it is emergency traffic westbound I-80 into Willa County, where right lane is blocked with a crash with injuries about a mile prior to the Lake Point switch off. That is causing the parking lot of stop and go speeds that are back past Salt Air. The 201 also seeing delays as you're headed westbound to join I-80 into Willa County. But if you're in Salt Lake County, westbound SR-201 seeing spots of heavy and slow traffic between 9th West and Magna. We also have a vehicle on its side, a rollover crash eastbound I-80 just after Redwood, backing traffic past I-215. Michelle?
Congested on the south belt westbound between Redwood Road and I-15 and eastbound in spots between 20th East and I-15. Southbound I-15 delays start 21st South into Midvale, then Point of the Mountain to 2100 North Lehigh. On the flip side, northbound I-15 slowing Draper to Midvale. Steve?
And southbounders on Foothill expect delays of Wakara way out to 21st South. Slow and go there. You're also going to be tapping the brakes on northbound I-15, leaving downtown up to the north interchange. Then you get a pretty nice break, and then Davis County delays set in from Lagoon up to Clearfield past Hill Air Force Base. Slowdowns on the southbound side, Riverdale to Roy, and it's also stacked up and slow through Fruit Heights for those on northbound 89. Main to 200 North and from SR 193 up to I-84. Snowbird's annual Oktoberfest is here. Enjoy classic German food and music every Saturday and Sunday, including Labor Day through October 20th. Get all the details at snowbird.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Dan Guthrie has the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Wednesday.
Temperatures have recovered to seasonal levels for us this afternoon. Should be around 92 degrees, and most stations sitting in the upper 80s and lower 90s here along the Wasatch Front. We'll work our way into the 80s here over the next hour to two, and then we'll drop into the 70s by about the 9 to 10 o'clock hour and eventually settling in the 60s. But temperatures overnight will be warmer than the last few nights, and that's going to help launch highs for the days on Wednesday and Thursday back into the mid-90s. With the hourly forecast at 5 o'clock, I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
92 degrees, KSL News Time, 5:11, and let's go in-depth now with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, you might not be surprised to see a moose on a rocky cliff, but how about one that takes a plunge from that cliff into the harbor below? That's exactly what you're going to see right now on the KSL News Radio app and on the KSL News Radio Facebook page. Now, the video shows this daredevil moose scaling some rocks on the cliffs of a harbor in Canada when all of a sudden that moose, which is carefully towing around the edge of the rocks, plunges into the water. Now, the person behind the camera yells out, "Oh no, she's gone!" when the animal emerges and swims away as if nothing happened. Just took that plunge and then just swam away. A biology professor says the animal was never in any danger. Moose are excellent swimmers. He says the animal probably got stuck up on that cliff and decided it'd be easier to dive into the water than get back on the land rather than try to scale down that steep slope.
Now, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. in Atlantic City, New Jersey, they had a pier that went out over the ocean. Mm-hmm. And one of the attractions, you pay money, you sit in an amphitheater on the pier, and they put a diving horse with a man on his back on a perch. Now, how do they get the horse to jump 75 feet into the ocean below? The floor drops out, and he slides out of the thing. It was the most cruel thing imaginable. It went on for years and years, and as kids, we clapped and ate our cotton candy, you know?
Thanks for sharing,
KSL News Time, 5:13. Shark sightings are up on Cape Cod, and they're triggering some big business.
Overall, tourism on Cape Cod is doing well. It's still a top 10 market for Airbnb, but local business owners say with so many sharks in the area swimming off of the beaches, there is one niche business that isn't doing as well. That would be paddleboard and kayak rentals.
As you could imagine, that's ABC's Will Reeve reporting from Cape Cod. One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, what does a bear and the Kool-Aid man have in common? KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt is joining us live. I hope you're going to answer that question.
I certainly am, Jeff. What they have in common is they apparently both don't like using doors. The Washington Post reports a black bear entered a home after some trash. This was in Colorado. And after knocking down the garbage can, It blocked its exit so it couldn't get out. What it started doing was ripping the insulation off of the walls. It tore an outlet from the wall and then started digging its way out. Well, a neighbor heard all this commotion, called the police. Police show up. Bear didn't like that. So the bear went full Kool-Aid man and just smashed through the wall, running out through an open door.
Oh, yeah.
The Kool-Aid man. And officers say the bear had absolutely no interest in them when it ran outside. It just wanted to get back into the wild.
Okay, let me just check this Kool-Aid man again.
Oh, yeah.
Is that from the commercial?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
I
what
remember.
He says when he busts through the brick wall that apparently everybody is okay with and nobody is scared by.
Trending right now on social media. Old school Italian food. You like Italian food? Well, this is the oldest school Italian food. Archaeologists in Pompeii have uncovered an ancient Italian restaurant buried in ash when Mount Vesuvius exploded. Among the delights discovered at the restaurant kitchen, no, not pasta, but they did find perfectly preserved but ash-covered bread, chickpeas, lentils, goat meat, and what a treat in the year 79 AD, cooked dormouse. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
a Utah teenager has died after her family's car was hit by falling rocks at Glacier National Park. The rocks hit the top of the vehicle and shattered the rear windshield, also injuring the girl's parents and two other children. I'm Maria Chaleas.
Second, a candidate for Draper City Council says he hasn't decided exactly what to do after he was disqualified for being 1 minute late to file a key campaign disclosure document. Draper's mayor says while he feels bad, the city recorder can't make exceptions. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot. We're brought to you by Mountain America's lowest visa rate ever.
Westbound I-80 delays getting into Tooele County. Those slowdowns start after the Tailings Pond and prior to Salt Air. And it is just a solid slowdown all the way to the crash about a mile prior to the Lake Point switch-off, and it is still blocking a right lane of traffic. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
More sunshine and warmer temperatures for the middle of the week. I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
It's 92 degrees now. KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. New surveillance video and details on the Dayton mass shooting where nine were murdered, including the gunman's younger sister.
The video indicating to authorities that gunman Connor Betts appeared to be acting alone.
At time frame, we don't see anyone assisting him in committing this horrendous crime.
Dayton Police Chief Richard Beale says investigators are split as to whether the gunman's sister and a companion were targeted in the shooting. They were among the first shot. The sister died. The police chief also increasing the number of those hurt from the gunfire from 14 to 17. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
The Justice Department says Attorney General William Barr has reassigned the warden from the Manhattan jail where accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide over the weekend.
Two MCC staff members who were on duty in Epstein's unit, the special housing unit, have also been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the federal investigations. They were supposed to be checking on Jeffrey Epstein every 30 minutes in the hours leading to his death, but that protocol, for some reason, was not followed.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in New York. A coalition of 21 Democratic-led states is suing the Trump administration over its decision to ease restrictions on coal-fired power plants. The president spent the afternoon touring a petrochemical complex that's under construction in western Pennsylvania.
The president came to praise Shell Oil for investing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but spent time going after Democrats who want his job and his own Federal Reserve chair pick, Jerome Powell, for not lowering interest rates.
He's made a big mistake. The head of the Fed, that was another beauty that I chose.
The Federal Reserve, by law, is supposed to respond to market forces, not presidential demands. Andy Field, ABC News.
Police in Portland are getting ready for competing rallies this Saturday between out-of-state far-right groups and anti-fascists. Mayor Ted Wheeler says he may ask the governor to call up the Oregon National Guard. You're listening to ABC News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth.
Back to school.
Back to school.
In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Keeping our kids safe when they're at school is every parent's priority. But is there money coming from the state legislature to help upgrade school buildings and implement district needs? One district spokesman says, nope. $100 million was supposed to go to school safety upgrades, but it was slashed to under $1 million when it passed through the legislature in January. And today, we're learning a lack of funds is slowing some safety projects.
Granite spokesman Ben Horsley joined the Dave and Dujanovic show earlier today. He says the slash in funds has hurt.
With respect to what Granite School District specifically might have received as a portion of that funding, that's about $6 million that was left out on the table that could have gone to help complete school safety improvements. Right now we're in the midst of a 6 to 8 year project to enhance all of our elementary openings to ensure that there is a stopgap between strangers walking in the doors, and obviously those projects are going to be delayed based on our availability of our own local funds. And so that would have made a massive improvement and infusion of cash to complete those projects in a timely manner.
Horsley says safety upgrades are a priority, but the lack of funding will continue to fall on the backs of taxpayers.
We had a plan in general to complete those projects in a timely manner based on priorities, but it's one of those situations. Which school gets these types of improvements first? You know, it's like the old seatbelts on the bus argument. Which bus gets the seatbelts, right? In this case, we're asking which school gets the secure entry. And so that infusion of cash would have obviously allowed us to complete those projects a lot quicker.
He says state lawmakers are just giving the school safety issue lip service.
I think there's a lot of lip service given to these topics of school safety when these types of activities occur and unfortunate incidents like Parkland, huge tragedies occur. I think people put on a brave face and want to demonstrate their willingness to commit. But obviously, by the time January rolled around, unfortunately, that commitment had disappeared significantly.
The legislature did approve some funding for additional counseling and mental health support, but Horsley calls it a drop in the bucket for the needs of his large district. You've been listening to The In-Depth. Now, emergency traffic at 519. We're brought to you by Mountain America's lowest Visa rate ever. Here's the latest on the trip, Ricky Meese.
Only a left lane open with this crash with injuries westbound I-80 about a mile prior to the Lake Point switch off, and that's what's calling the awful delays in Tooele County westbound I-80. Those backups are reaching the Kennecott Tailings Pond. And if you're trying to join westbound I-80 from 201, those westbound slowdowns are backed almost to the 202 junction. We also have more westbound slowing on SR 201 from I-15 to Bangor. We also have emergency traffic on eastbound I-80. It's a rollover crash blocking a right lane of traffic just after Redwood Road. That's causing delays back past the West Belt. Michelle?
Well, the I-215 South Belt has congestion eastbound between Redwood Road and I-15, westbound in spots between 20th East and I-15, where we have a crash. This is at 300 West on the left shoulder, adding to the delays. Southbound I-15, slowdowns start prior to 21st South to Midvale and Point of the Mountain to 2100 North Lehigh. On the flip side, northbound slowing Draper to Midvale. Steve?
Got the typical slowdowns for those on southbound Foothill Drive between Wakara Way all the way out to Stringham Avenue, almost 21st South. Delays from northbound I-15 from downtown up through the north interchange. Then it clears out. You've got Davis County delays from Park Lane to Clearfield by the base. Southbound I-15 packed in through the construction between 4400 South and Ogden down into Clearfield. Also stacked and slow through typical slowdowns through Fruit Heights for those on northbound 89, Main to 200 North. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Here's your 7-day forecast and Dan Guthrie.
Sunshine sticking around for the middle portion of the week, and temperatures will continue to warm, looking at a high of 94 on Wednesday and a high of 95 on Thursday under mostly sunny skies. Cold front's going to start to swing through as we head into the day on Friday. Now, the storms are going to mainly be in Idaho and parts of Wyoming. We'll see a couple of clouds here in northern Utah, but that's about all the moisture we'll be able to cook up out of this storm. And all it'll do is bring slightly cooler air. When I say slightly, I mean Friday down to 92 before back up to 93 on Saturday and 96 on Sunday and Monday. I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
It's 92 degrees in Salt Lake City.